When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News. We go immediately to the Bloomberg Report. President-elect Donald Trump's transition team is considering pairing Kevin Warsh, a former Federal Reserve official, in the Treasury Secretary role with hedge fund manager Scott Bessent as director of the White House's National Economic Council. This is people familiar with the matter, the old Trump administration transition team. Liz, we're lost in the names of major players on Wall Street, much esteem, men who have made fortunes and command respect, and yet it is confusing as to what the debate is about. Scott Bessent, worthwhile. Kevin Warsh, worthwhile. And Mr. Lutnick, also worthwhile, a man who's been critical in the transition, as I understand. What is driving the dispute, the doubt about the choice for Treasury? What is it that the Treasury is supposed to achieve here that they're trying to try out these men for? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, that's a really good question. I mean, clearly, Treasury is very involved with the functioning of markets, monetary policy. And, you know, if you look at frankly, the history of Janet Yellen, I don't think she's done a very good job on any of those fronts, nor was she able to get her arms around inflation. People are critical of her for not having spotted that inflation was a problem, not having spoken up to the president and said, maybe we should, you know, curtail our spending. Anyway, so why is there such a tussle going on? I think there is a camp in the Trump hierarchy that just wants disruption everywhere. They want disruption in the healthcare industry, which I applaud. In education, ditto, needs disruption. Military, possibly less so, but probably, you know, there's some call for that. In my view, in the Treasury, in terms of markets functioning, we don't really need disruption. Markets are functioning just great. We certainly need a change in direction in fiscal policy, and I think any of these people are going to sign on to that. But I think, you know, I've seen a lot on X, the social media platform X, saying, oh, Scott Bessent, who was definitely in the lead for this role as of several weeks ago, he's too much been there, done that. We need change. I don't think that's really true. And I think Howard Lutnick, a lot of people on Wall Street think he is not really a markets person. He really is a businessman, and he really is the wrong person for this job. But he's been a big fundraiser. He's been helpful in the transition. So, you know, he's important to Trump. So is Scott Bessent. He's raised a lot of money for Trump. And Kevin Warsh is someone who ideologically, I think, is probably attractive to people on the right. So any of these people is going to be right. I mean, my view would be that's a little backwards. I would put Kevin Warsh head of the Council of Economic Advisors, put Bessent in as Treasury. That, I think, is a very good pair. But, you know, we'll see what Trump does. Any of those people are capable. It's just a question of kind of what their primary mission is, I guess.
My significant memory is that the first and big lift is going to be the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act.
Yeah, for sure.
To either extend it to a certain date or make it permanent. That is going to be the Treasury Secretary's task, correct?
Well, that's what Scott Bessent is raring to go. And I think all three of them, that yes, that is clearly the first thing that has to happen, because otherwise, if it is not renewed, if the tax cuts in that bill aren't renewed, it's like a $5 trillion tax cut. So the economy would stagger under the weight of that. Nobody wants that. Trump in particular doesn't want that. Of course, the Trump team wants to go further. For example, on corporate tax rate, they want to drop that to 15% from its current 21%. It was, as you recall, 28%, and they reduced it in 2017 in that bill. They want to go even further. My guess is that's open to negotiation, but possibly not. Certainly, some drop in the corporate tax rate would reinvigorate and make even more attractive America as a place to manufacture, and that is a huge goal of this administration. Frankly, another goal of this administration, it should be, and I think is, making sure that electricity and power rates are such that a lot of the industries of the future, like AI, can manufacture here, can perform here. I think one of the most interesting things going on, John, on the economic front is the willingness of the country to do an absolute U-turn on nuclear power. Imagine the fact that people are talking about reopening Three Mile Island to fuel data centers, AI development, et cetera. My gosh, if you had suggested that 5 years ago, you would have been laughed out of town. Three Mile Island was sort of synonymous with the risks of nuclear power. That's just been completely left behind. Now, I think the country is very willing, and certainly this administration will be, to embrace not just lower taxes to attract companies, but also lower power costs. And as people, for example, in New England, see their electricity bills going up at 10 or 15% a year, you know, that's ridiculous. It shouldn't be happening. There's no reason for it happening except bad policymaking. So I've sort of strayed off our major topic here. But, you know, there's a lot that needs to be fixed. Taxes is one thing for corporations that can help fix the fact that we're not manufacturing more domestically. I think power is almost as important.
I recall Janet Yellen's mission, and she might still be on it. I haven't heard much.
heard from her lately. Yeah. Right.
Something about a universal tax, global tax on all corporations, so they can't go to venues where they're treated better. You know, the dollar finds it's where it goes where it's well treated. So I mentioned Janet Yellen only to make everybody feel better that this debate that's going on in the Trump team is between people who understand where we're going as opposed to someone who was stuck in an – I don't even know if that was an ideology, what Janet Yellen was up to.
Right? Well,
We argued about it for years, Liz, and now it's just gone with the wind.
Yeah. So I think Janet Yellen, if I had to kind of give her a label, it is globalist. I think she really wanted the United States to have all kinds of tax and competition policies that basically involved other countries deciding what global taxes and global anti-competitive measures should look like. I totally disagree with that. And I think that the Trump team totally disagrees with that. I think they're going to put American interests ahead of competing interests in Europe, for example, most particularly. And I think that is a rebuke of her stance, because you're correct. What Janet Yellen was looking at is the fact that countries were competing for industries by lowering their tax rate, Ireland obviously being the poster child for this. And it was very successful for Ireland. I think their per capita GDP is now one of the highest in the world. Why? Because they went rock bottom on tax rates, and a lot of companies set up corporate, if you will, headquarters there or various things which allowed them to tax corporate earnings there. Well, okay, so I get the impulse to kind of rein in that competition. On the other hand, you know, the United States can be there too. And I think that's what Yellen was afraid of. She didn't really think it was appropriate for the United States to compete on similarly low aggressive tax rates. But if a country wants to do that, wants to onshore and make attractive manufacturing and doing business in their own country, I say go at it. Let there be a healthy competition. Again, Janet Yellen's instinct was much more to put this sort of in the court of world opinion. And I think that ideology, and it is an ideology, I think that's gone.
Another task for the Treasury Secretary, I believe, or maybe it's just executive, is the Inflation Reduction Act. It's a curse on us, Liz. It's driving inflation. That was more than $1 trillion, and I think most of it's yet to be spent.
A lot of it is yet to be spent. There's a lot of talk of recapturing some of that. Unfortunately, the White House isn't sitting on its hands. They are trying to disperse the money as quickly as possible to make sure that it can't be recaptured. In that Inflation Reduction Act, something I've railed about for months, was $380 billion basically given over to John Podesta in the White House to distribute as he wanted for activities and plants and stuff to be built having to do with climate change. That's an awful lot of money to be handed over to a single individual, but that's what happened. I think the Trump team would love to reverse some of that. Even if maybe the money's distributed, some of it may come back into the Treasury. We'll see. Of course, that act also included $80 billion for the IRS. I think the Trump White House is not particularly keen on that, so some of that may get reversed too. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the Biden White House to get rules passed, appointments made, et cetera, in these last lame duck weeks.
They're going after hopefully. Google, Liz. They've got weeks to go.
Yeah, I know. I know. Part of me says, great, I hate Google. I hate their politics. But, you know, honestly, what is it? They want to get rid of their Chrome browser. That's their big new idea to kind of make America great again from the Biden perspective. That whole war on big tech, from the FTC and Lina Khan and the working through the Department of Justice, it seems nuts to me. It has definitely tried to hobble our biggest, best companies. Again, I don't like their politics, but to sort of wage war on companies because they have been successful. And by the way, who pays for their browsers? Nobody. So it's not like the consumer is going to go and say, oh, thank heavens, my browsing is now cheaper. No, my search engine costs exactly what it did yesterday, and it will even if they crack down on Google, which is exactly nothing.
We've now listed three things that we were living under the cloud, not even noticing that it was always raining. The global tax, Janet Yellen, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the war on big tech to break up anything that's considered too large. And all of it's gone, Liz. Isn't that worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, can't we make ourselves feel better saying we don't have to fight it anymore?
Yeah, I think, you know what, you raise a very good point. This is why markets have been, until recently, cheering, because the blight of overregulation and going forward, higher taxes, because Kamala Harris wanted to raise corporate taxes, is being relieved. And I think investors are very happy to see that.
Big Pharma, Liz Peek of The Hill, and writing for Fox News, we're looking at a column she's written about the controversial Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Big Pharma. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.